Patram, the true person to whom charity must be given. To Bat, Atra, in the world. Nirutam, decided. Vai, indeed. Gavibihi, by learned scholars. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Let's do it like this. There we go. Patravidamahai. Or expert in finding the actual person to whom charity must be given. Parehi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eva, indeed. Ekaha, only one. Orvi Isha, the King of the Earth. Yatmayam, in whom everything is resting. Vai, from whom everything is coming. Chara acharam, all that is moving or non-moving within this universe. So translation, O King of the Earth, it has been decided by expert learned scholars that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in whom all that is moving or non-moving within this universe is resting and from whom everything is coming, is the best person to whom everything must be given. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki, John. Whenever we perform some religious act in terms of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, we must perform it according to the time, place, and person, kala, desha, patra. Narada Muni has already described the desha, place, and kala time. The kala has been described in verses 20 through 24, beginning with the words, Anye Vishuve Kurya Yathabhate Ninakshye. And the places for giving charity or performing ritualistic ceremonies have been described in verses 30 through 33, beginning with Saramsi Pushkaradini Chitranyahar Shrityan Yudal. Now to whom everything must be given is decided in this verse. Harir, Evaika, Orisha, Yanmayam, Vaicharacharam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the root of everything, and therefore He is the best patra or person to whom everything must be given. In the Bhagavad Gita, the 5th chapter, text 29, it is said, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokamaheshwaram Suradam Sarvalokamaham Yatvamam Shanti. If one wants to enjoy real peace and prosperity, he should give everything to Krishna, who is the real enjoyer, real friend, and real proprietor. It is therefore said, Yathadaramula nisechanena chudyanti tatskanda bujopashakaha pranopaharascha yatendriyanam By worshipping or satisfying Krishna, Ajuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can satisfy everyone just as one can water the branches, leaves, and flowers of a tree, simply by watering its root, or as one satisfies all the senses of the body by giving food to the stomach. Therefore, a devotee simply offers everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to receive the best results of charity, religious performances, sense gratification, and even liberation, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. All right, again. Patram patra niruktam vai kavibi patravitamahai paviri vai kavurvisha Yan mayam bai Chirach Chiram So Omagadata Mirandasha Kananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurvena Maha. So this is an interesting verse because it actually indicates how we should act. What do I mean by how we should act? Well, we think we have so many obligations in this world. We have obligations, it's described, according to the Vedic system, we have obligations to the forefathers, we have obligations to our parents and family, we have obligations to the demigods, we have obligations to the government, we have obligations to our friends, right? So, not to appear heartless, actually, if we fulfill our obligations to Krishna, then everything is taken care of. That is the faith a devotee has. Faith is described as simply doing what Krishna wants, everything is accomplished. So, let me give you some examples of how that is a fact. And some of these may appear heavy examples. Anyway, there's the example of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami had obligations to his family. He was brought up in a very rich family. This is before he was a Swami or Goswami. He was brought up in a very rich family. He had, anyway, family obligations, wife, everything like that. And he left it all. He left it all just like it was nothing. And he joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and of course he went to Vrindavan and executed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And so there is an example of someone who gave up. I mean, we consider obligations so important in our society. I mean, just like, I'm not going to compare myself to Raghunath Das Goswami, but just like when I joined the movement, my mother said, you have an obligation to me. To her. And even there was some Indian guilt trip then. My mother said that if you don't leave, I'm going to die. If you don't leave the Hare Krishna movement, I'm going to die. You're going to be responsible for the death of your mother. Sounds like Indian culture, doesn't it? Well, the culture I was brought up in is exactly the same, the Jewish culture. Filled with guilt. And so, of course, I was rather heartless. I said, well, to the devotees, I said, if my mother dies, at least she'll be thinking of me. And I'm a devotee and she'll go back to God. And also I was thinking, we're not the body, so his mother is only the mother of the body. That is a little fanatic. That is too fanatic. We're not suggesting that one thing like that. But anyway, so she is still alive today, and she didn't die. And I'm still Hare Krishna. And she, basically, she's happy with me now. After all these years, she's 93 years old. So that's it. That's one example, Raghunath Das Goswami. I mean, another example, of course, is Sanatana Goswami and also Rupa Goswami. And they had obligations to the Nawab Hussein Shah. I mean, that's an obligation, too. You have obligations to government, you have obligations to the people who serve you. And when Sanatana Goswami decided to renounce, of course, he wasn't allowed to do that by the Nawab Hussein Shah. So in order to really engage in Krishna consciousness, he just had a message sent to the Nawab Hussein Shah, who was his boss, basically the most powerful person in India at that time, or that part of India, that he was sick. And then he spent all of his time reading Srimad Bhagavatam with Brahmins. And then what happened is the Nawab, he sent his medical officer to examine Sanatana Goswami. And he discovered that Sanatana Goswami was not sick. He was just making believe he was sick so he could read Bhagavatam. And the Nawab came and he said to him, How can you do this? You should be helping me. I have my service of conquering all over India and creating problems, and I'm depending on you. And Sanatana Goswami said, can't do it anymore. And the Nawab put him in jail. And in order to get out of jail, it's described that Sanatana Goswami basically had to bribe the jailkeeper. He had some money that was put aside by Srila Rupa Goswami when Rupa Goswami took sannyas. And Rupa Goswami actually had no trouble leaving his employment. So he had kept some gold with a storekeeper, grocer actually, and Sanatana Goswami kept bribing him and bribing him, and finally he was able to leave. So he just renounced his obligations. You know, it's an important obligation to the government, to the family, and everything like that. And just renounced and became full-time servant of Krishna. Now, I'm not saying that one should renounce one's family. That's not, please don't take this out of context. But one should do what is most favorable for serving Krishna, because the surrendering principles in Krishna consciousness are very interesting, taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First thing is to accept everything favorable for serving Krishna. That means, for many people, that means staying in household life, because this is a chapter on ideal family life. Staying on household life and serving Krishna in such a condition. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted the devotees to stay in household life. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India, some people wanted to follow him and leave their family and leave everything. And Lord Chaitanya, what did he say? Stani sita, shutigatam, tan ban manobhya. Just stay where you are. Because he's repeating a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Brahma has this instruction. Stani sita, just remain as you are. But Shruti Gatam, Tan Ban Manobir, just hear about Krishna, engage in Krishna Gata, and preach from your situation. So that's the point. And how does one understand what's favorable for serving Krishna? In these many different ways. One is, of course, you ask the spiritual master. And you say, Guru Maharaj, what should I do? And the Guru Maharaj may say, do this, do that, whatever. And that's one way we can find out what's most favorable. Another way is to understand what maximizes our service for Krishna. This is a principle of maximization. It's like business. When you're doing business, you want to maximize what? Profits. You're a fool of a businessman if you don't maximize profits. Isn't it? If you just give money away to everybody, so that's the point. Business means profits, maximize money. Krishna consciousness means maximize what? Does anyone know? More devotees. That's a really important principle. The first priority in Krishna consciousness is more devotees and deeper Krishna consciousness amongst the existing devotees, deepening the Krishna. This is the two things. Everything else is secondary. It's a Sankirtan movement. So to make more devotees, you're married, you stay in household life, that's what works best. To make more devotees, you take sannyas, what's worked best. If it makes more devotees to dress in a dhoti, dress in a dhoti. Or if it makes more devotees to dress in tie and jacket, dress in tie and jacket. You understand? That's the point. Not that you simply think of things externally, ritualistically. And that's what made Prabhupada the happiest when he saw more and more devotees. Like we've told that and given that example many times. When Prabhupada wanted to bring Tamal Krishna Maharaj back to India, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, in order to convince Prabhupada that he should stay in the Western world in America, he produced all the new devotees. And Prabhupada got so impressed, he said, oh no, you stay here. So Prabhupada changed his plans because he saw more devotees. More devotees, happier devotees, more Krishna conscious devotees. That's the purpose of everything we do. That's the purpose of having a temple. The reason we worship the deities. The reason we had distributed prasadam. Yeah, of course, to make ourselves Krishna consciousness, you know, we have to do that. We can't think more devotees, happier devotees, but I'm not going to be a devotee. I'm not going to chant. Just like we've seen in the past, some people are very enthusiastic to preach, but they don't chant Hare Krishna. There was one famous devotee, and he was a friend of mine, and he was distributing so many books, but he never... When I asked him, when do you chant your rounds? He said, well, I do it, but you don't see me chant my rounds. So, because, you know, purity is the force. You know, that's Prabhupada's methodology. Because unless you're pure and you have some spiritual potency, you're not going to make devotees just by being kind to everybody, just by being, you know, patting everyone on the head and picking up babies and blessing them. It's like sometimes in my service life, I pick up babies. I think I've picked up more babies as a sannyasi than I ever did. More than any politicians. You know, politicians, sometimes they kiss babies. Or, you know, I have to do the same thing. Bless everybody's babies. So, but the real way to make Krishna conscious, people Krishna conscious, if we are spiritually potent, that's the point. If you're not, it's like having a PowerPoint with no electricity in it. It's useless. Simply useless, isn't it? You just plug something in, why isn't it even working? There's no power, you rascal. So we're going out, doing things, whoops. Nice music. You should turn up the mobile phone, start the class. So anyway, so that's the point. Put it on vibrate or something. So that's the point, to maximize the amount of people who are coming. That makes Prabhupada happy. That makes Krishna happy. Krishna says in the Gita that no one is more dear to me than he who preaches or teaches this Krishna consciousness. And people come. Because what? Krishna is an anxiety, but he's not an anxiety like we are over money or food. Or health, isn't it? We have so much anxiety. Is there enough money to build the temple, to pay for the temple? Is there enough devotees to do arati? Are there enough, is the weather bad? You know, so many things cause us anxiety in this material world. Does this person like me? Is my wife gonna run away from me? You know, so many. Isn't it so many anxiety people have, isn't it? Or like you are all going to, the children are going to school, and your anxiety, oh, it's exams. You have anxiety in exams? Tests? It's anxiety. So Krishna is never in anxiety about those things. You know, he's God. Why does he have to be in anxiety? He can pass any test. You know, he never gets sick. He has a spiritual body. He never has to see a doctor. Of course, one time Krishna said he was sick, but that was because he wanted to prove that Radharani was the most chaste. Is that story? He said the only thing that'll cure him, actually Krishna became the doctor as well as the person being sick. He said the only person that will cure him is the most chaste lady who can walk across the Yamuna on his hair, carrying a water pot with 1,000 holes in it and bring the water for him to drink. And that was Radharani. Everyone else failed, including Kutila. So that's another story. But Krishna is not in anxiety about anything material. He has everything. Doesn't need to do business. But he's an anxiety about us. You understand? That's the only thing that Krishna's lacking is us. I mean, he has plenty of spirit souls in the spiritual world, plenty of Lakshmis, Lakshmi Sahasra Sata, Sambrahma Sevyamanam, Govindamani Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. He has plenty of servants, but he's in anxiety over us. He wants us back. You know, he loves us. Like there's a story in the Bible, like if someone is taking care of sheep, I don't think you all know what a sheep are, but anyway, it's an animal that you haven't seen here in Fiji. But it's an animal with wool on it. So if you have a wool chatter, it comes from sheep. Anyway, so he said, like a sheep herder, that means one who takes care of sheep, who does the sheep herder think of the most, or which sheep? The ones that have wandered away. It's interesting. Interesting quote from the Bible. So the sheep herder is actually thinking of the ones that, not the ones that are there, but the ones that have wandered away. So Krishna is thinking about us and anxiety. And it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Krishna himself sometimes comes down as the guru or sends the guru. In the story of Gopakumar, Krishna himself became the guru and manifested himself as the guru. But Krishna sends the guru because he's so much in anxiety, inviting us to come back. So if someone's in anxiety and that's their only problem, which is Krishna, don't you think relieving that anxiety will make that person the happiest? And that's the point. And we should see like that when we're going and talking to people who are not Krishna conscious, that we're simply talking to them, trying to bring them to Krishna, because it's Krishna's compassion, Krishna's love, Krishna's anxiety, isn't it? That's how we should see. We should be so happy when someone comes to the temple, so happy when someone chants, so happy when someone takes prasadam. Not that we should put impediments on people. Like if someone wants to take initiation, not we should say, well, you got to give $2,000 first for initiation, you know. Anyway, some temples is like that. How much do you make? Well, you got to give a certain percentage. I guess that's the Indian system, bribery. You can buy your initiation. Anyway, so, no, but we should be so happy. That's the real point. Everything else is less important. How many more devotees, happier devotees? Everything else, you know, is meant to serve that purpose. We worship the deities. People can come see the deities, be attracted to Krishna. Like Rupa Goswami says, don't go to see Krishna if you want to enjoy society, friendship, and love. Just like that story, Ramanujacharya. One time Ramanujacharya was taking his devotees out. They were having some Harinam or something. And there was a man who was in love with his girlfriend. Same time. Not one of the disciples, not yet. And he was fanning his girlfriend with a chamara and holding an umbrella over her head. And he was walking backwards like Rathayatra, fanning her. She, guru, girlfriend, charana padma, kevala vakati sadma. You know, the lotus feet of my girlfriend of the, anyway, whatever. And Ramanujacharya simply said to him, he didn't criticize. He said, I can show you. If I can show you someone who has more beautiful eyes than her, will you come to see? And the man said, yes. He thought it was a better looking girl. And he took him in front of the deities. And his name was Dhanardas, actually. He got initiated later on. When he saw the deities, he fell in love with Krishna. That's our preaching. You fall in love with Krishna. So the purpose of the deity worship is so people will fall in love with Krishna. Just like whenever I see the deities, I think, wow, I just have to serve. I mean, love means to serve. Not that I just want to sit there and stare all day long at the deities. If it doesn't awaken a service mood, you've got something wrong. Like if a man falls in love with his wife or girlfriend, and he simply stares at her all day long, she'll think, this is nonsense. Give me some money. Do something for me. Isn't it? I mean, what's the use of staring at her? It's like that story of Tulsidas, you know, that he was simply interested. He was running a cloth shop, you know this story. And every time there was a nice cloth that someone wanted to buy, he just gave it to his wife. But his wife didn't want the cloth, she wanted money. So what is this system of living? Of course, she spoke very harshly to him, and then he left. He said, well, not a good idea. So anyway, that's the point. The deity worship, the Harinam, everything. More people become so happy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we'll never be happy until the Supreme Court justices are wearing tilak. In other words, and that's why Prabhupada said that, practically speaking, in many countries he visited, he encouraged the devotees by saying, this will be the first Krishna conscious country. He said that in Fiji. Also said that in Mauritius. Several other countries too. So what was Prabhupada doing? He was giving people the goal. You know, unless you have goals, then you won't accomplish anything. Just like there's one church in the United States, and the man wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Church. He had a goal. And it's one of these mega churches, like 30,000 people go to the church. So unless you have a goal, what's the use? Unless you know where you're going, what's the use of getting in your stupid car? Isn't that? Of course, when I was young, when I first had a car, I got in the car and just drove it around. Isn't it? I mean, young people, when they first get a car, they just drive around, show off, and wave to everybody. But what? That's like some people take Krishna consciousness like that, just get into it and wave to everybody. I'm a devotee. But the goal is to bring more people. So anyway, so the surrendering principle is to accept everything favorable for serving and pleasing Krishna. And even if everyone else complains, that's tough. One has to have that determination. Your family complains. I mean, I know some of the devotees that join Krishna Consciousness, and their family complains about it, isn't it? It's their problem. It's not your problem. And if they think of you enough, they'll become Krishna conscious. That's good. If they think of you out of anger, it's like Kamsa thinking of Krishna. Then they'll become Krishna conscious. That's their problem. You don't have to own anyone else's problem. Of course, we should follow the law. We should do things nicely. But our obligation is to Krishna. Is to Prabhupada, Krishna. That's the point. So accept everything favorable and reject everything unfavorable. These are the surrendering principles. And don't worry. Krishna's going to take care of you. The next two surrendering principles, so always understand the Lord is maintaining you and protecting you. I mean, he's protecting you. I mean, you can't protect yourself. I mean, you should wear a seatbelt. That's true. But other than that, I mean, how are you going to protect yourself? It's such a dangerous world. We were just telling the other devotees last night how sometimes in America and other countries, two people go swimming just in the lake and they breathe in, there's an amoeba comes and kills them. Just one little tiny amoeba, you can't even see it. How can you protect yourself? They're like, you know, Sundari got pierced by a pin. And just little pin was getting ready to kill her. Fortunately, she went to the hospital and they saved her life. You know, how can you protect yourself in this world? Padam, padam, yad, vipadam, natesha. There's danger at every step. And it's described, if one has the best medical care, but Krishna wants to kill you, you're dead. And if you have no medical care, and Krishna wants to save you, you're going to live. So, of course, we do go to the doctors. We do take care of ourselves, but we understand it's Krishna. So, understand Krishna's taking care of you. And then, of course, the last two surrendering principles are to be meek and humble and have no separate interest other than the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we keep that in mind, we're really fulfilling the purpose of Vokturam Jagatapasam, like Prabhupada quotes here in the verse. Sarva Loka Maheshram Suradam Sarva Bhutanam Get Vamam Shanti Richati. To understand that Krishna is the enjoyer, we're meant to please him, we're Prakriti. We're not Purusha. Prakriti in this sense means we're energy. Krishna is the energetic. We're female, maybe not in our spiritual bodies, but we're female in relation to Krishna as the supreme male. And we're meant to be enjoyed, that's all. That's it, everyone. Just like one time, this interesting story in Vrindavan. Mirabai, this great devotee, wanted to see Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami says, I don't see any women. Renounced. And Mirabai said, well, there's actually everyone, Krishna's the only male. Everybody's female relationship. How could you refuse to see? And then Jiva Goswami agreed to see Mirabai. Famous story. So we're all Prakriti. And our position, Krishna's the father, aham bija pada pita, bijamam sarvabhutanam. I mean, so many verses there in the Gita. And if we understand that, then we don't have any more debts. Our only debt is, of course, we should pay our material debts, I understand that. But whatever pleases Krishna, that's what we should do. That's our standard. And everybody is meant to be renounced like that. Like Prabhupada even called the grihasthas, because here this chapter is about ideal family life, he said, brahmachari grihastha. What is a brahmachari? Brahmachari means one is dedicated to Krishna. That's the definition of brahmachari. So everyone is meant to be like that, and then Krishna will be happy. And if you please Krishna, you water the, as the last verse here in the purport, you water the root of the tree, then all the leaves get watered. But we spent too much time watering the leaves. You water the root, and the root is Krishna. Okay? So, on that happy note, stay where you are, but keep Krishna the center, Krishna's happiness the center, and everything else will fall into place. All your needs will be taken care of. Ananyas chinta yantamam ye janak paripasate tesham nichabayuktamam yogakshema vahamiham. Krishna assures us in the ninth chapter of the Gita, he says, for one who is dedicated to me, ananyas chinta yantamam, his mind is completely absorbed in me, then I will protect what he has. And whatever he lacks or she lacks, I'll take care of too. Krishna's saying that. And that's Krishna's assurance, and Krishna's God. You understand? I have faith. So Krishna's God. I have faith in his holy names. I have faith in his words. And don't worry. Of course, sometimes Krishna will put you in a difficult situation, but that's to purify you, not to torture you. Okay, on that happy note, any questions or comments or problems? Or issues, or complaints, or requests? No? Someone must have. You need to read the TVs in about 2 minutes. Rasbihari, you have a question? Chuti, you have a question? Oh my God, what is a question? What? Yeah, the purport is great. And that's really the point. That we try to please Krishna, and not that we should not artificially renounce this world. That's not the point. Because I gave the example of Goswamis. Not artificially renounce, but see everything in terms of what pleases Krishna and act accordingly. And just to summarize what I said, what pleases the Krishna the most is if we become Krishna conscious, relieves his anxiety, and we bring more souls to become Krishna conscious. Everything else is secondary to that. More souls, more devotees, happier devotees, more Krishna conscious devotees, whatever strategy works. You know, if I could stand on my head and we'd make more devotees, I would stand on my head. If I could go bungee jumping would make more devotees, I'm not going to, but it doesn't matter, you know, just utility is the principle, Prabhupada said. Utility is the principle means you gotta use what's, isn't it? Yukta Vairagya. That's a Sanskrit expression for utility is the principle. That means use things in Krishna service that work. And if something doesn't work, if you have a strategy that doesn't work, you change your strategy. Prabhupada did that. Prabhupada experimented with different things. He came to the West, tried different strategies. First, he was preaching in the really rich part of New York, which is called the Upper East Side. And nobody, you know, nobody was really interested. Then he went down to the Bowery, which is the lower portion of New York. You understand what that is. And he started to preach to a bunch of hippies. And that worked. Prabhupada was very open to doing whatever necessary. I mean, Prabhupada, even to make devotees one time, he went to preach in a nudist colony. You know what a nudist colony is? It means where people walk around without clothes. You don't have them here in Fiji, do you? No, Fiji's more religious. So there was this whole place in New York where Prabhupada went, and people walking around in their birthday suits. You know what a birthday suit means? It means what you were born with, no clothes. Krishna is the only one who was born with jewelry. Everybody else was born with it. And Prabhupada was horrified, but he preached. And many devotees came from that. So you see, Prabhupada was really inventive. How can I make more devotees? That was Prabhupada's point. Okay. There's no questions. We should end and greet the deities, right? Okay. On that happy note, all glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.